It's like being under the influence of nature when you hike, stargaze, or just catch butterflies around the Grand Canyon, a Flagstaff novelist explains. And we'll discover one of the greatest shows on Earth from 30,000 feet in the air. Coming up, we get tips for what you can see from your plane's window seat as it crosses the USA. That's coming up on today's Travel with Rick Steves. But first, let's explore what it takes to be a digital nomad, where you get to travel by working from a home base in another country. Imagine if your life was untethered to any particular place. You had a career that was steady and well-paying, and you just traveled all the time. Working remotely, you are a digital nomad. More and more people are doing just that. And travel writer and entrepreneur Mike Swigunski, he's been the digital nomad working and living in about 80 countries in the last decade, and he's written a book on the lifestyle. Mike joins us today from his home base in the Republic of Georgia and shares ideas from his book called Global Career, How to Work Anywhere and Travel Forever.
Thanks so much for having me on, Rick. Excited to chat with you.
So, Mike, I'm a traveler, and I've had the same job, the same phone number, the same zip code now for over 40 years, and I travel a lot. You're a digital nomad, and that's quite a different kind of traveler. What exactly does that mean? And just very briefly, where have you gone in the last decade?
Yeah, so over the last decade, I've been to more than 85 different countries, and a big portion of that has probably been in Europe, Asia, South America, and a few stints to Africa, but I would say Africa is kind of the next frontier for me to explore.
You're working remotely as you travel.
Yeah, so I've been working remotely for more than 5 years now. For the previous 5 years, I was kind of showing up in physical locations and finding jobs that were going to advance my career. And each kind of job was kind of a stepping stone to get me to where I am now.
It must have been kind of a freeing thing, sort of a liberation when you realized I don't need to look for work where I'm traveling. I can travel where I want to go and look into the remote travel world for my employment.
Yeah, once I kind of had that remote lifestyle, it was everything that I'd always dreamed of, having that flexibility to be able to pack up my little backpack and my laptop and just kind of work from anywhere, from the comfort of my home, in any location that I was interested in traveling to.
Psychologically, are you looking for your ultimate home, like the place where you really belong, or is the journey itself kind of your goal?
I would say right now I'm looking to have a travel hub where I can essentially visit countries and visit the world from. So maybe it's spending, 9 months in that travel hub and then 3 months traveling around the world. Whatever the breakdown is, I want to have some sort of location where I can have a little bit more deeper connections and roots, and then be able to travel from that location.
No, that seems like a nice mix. Now, when you settle in, it's like you almost never unpack, or you're kind of traveling, but you're kind of at home. How do you do that? I know in your book you talk about the importance of gear and, quote, the setup and minimalism. Talk a bit about that.
Yeah, I would say my approach is a very minimalistic travel approach. I have one 40-liter backpack that I've been living out of for the past 3 years. It's very small. It can fit, on pretty much every airplane I've been on. And the reason I did this was because I was traveling so much and kind of just started calculating the amount of time I was wasting checking a bag, having the chances of losing stuff, and just adding extra stress. And I calculated 1 year that I saved a couple days in time by not having to go to the check-in counter. I just show up to the security with my mobile boarding pass, walk straight through, have a much more fast-paced time at the airport, and saving myself a lot less stress and a lot of time.
You're more nimble that way, too. I'm similar to you. I spend 100 days a year on the road in a normal year, and I never check a bag. I live out of my carry-on the airplane-sized bag. I always remember the dimensions, 9 by 22 by 14 inches. When I get home, after 100 days on the road with that bag, it occurs to me I didn't compromise anything. All I needed was in that bag. And it's kind of odd. I feel like I'm obligated now to expand back into my more complicated material world. But if you really are honest about it and thoughtful about it, you don't need that much. And you got that minimalism. And there are real perks to having that minimalist lifestyle when it comes to what you need in the way of a toiletries kit, for instance, and a wardrobe.
Yeah, there's so many benefits. I would say you don't have to worry about accumulating a lot of stuff. You can focus your money and your time into travel experiences, and nothing's going to really slow you down when you hit the road traveling. Any additional stuff, something else has to be sacrificed or given away in my travel setup. So I'm a travel photographer. So when I go to a country, that's the thing I like to take. I like to take photos and capture unique experiences when I'm visiting a location. And luckily that doesn't add any extra weight to my travel setup.
You're a digital nomad and your souvenirs are digital too. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with digital nomad Mike Swagunski, and he's got tips for how to live and work from almost anywhere. Mike has authored a book called Global Career, How to Work Anywhere and Travel Forever. And he blogs at globalcareerbook.com. So Mike, as even today, as we were setting up this interview, I'm in Seattle and you're in the Republic of Georgia. We had to fiddle around with the internet and so on. And I just thought, your whole world, if you're working remotely from a place like Colombia or Korea or Georgia or Australia or all the places you've lived and worked, it's relying on good internet and digital communication. How does that work? You must be an expert at it. Is it really just a matter of really knowing it well, or are there limits and physical frustrations that even a pro is exasperated by?
Yeah, I would say sometimes the internet is just out of your hands. But luckily with my setup, I have, you know, the local Wi-Fi. That's something that I can always access. Usually I get a local SIM card whenever I'm traveling. And my backup, my go-to thing is a Google Fi SIM card where essentially I can pop it into my phone. I can hotspot to my laptop. So this way I kind of have three different options for internet and Wi-Fi and phone connectivity that I'm really never going to find a scenario where all of those three don't work. And it's kind of, you know, made my setup foolproof. So if any occasion does happen, I'm always able to access the internet, get work done, and keep going.
So Mike, what was that SIM card again that works really well for you?
So Google Fi, it works in 170 different countries. You get a US-based phone number, and you only pay per the amount of data that you're using. So it is a $20 a month fee, base fee. But from that, if you use 1 gigabyte of data, you pay $10 for that, and so on.
Of course, you talk about this in your book, Global Career, these sort of practicalities of being a digital nomad. For me, a stress point is just, what if I lost my computer? If somebody rips off your computer or you lose it on a flight or whatever, can you just go buy a new computer and download everything from the cloud and you're right back where you were?
Yeah, essentially, I have my setup where every year I kind of just wipe it from scratch. I do occasional backups every month. So that way, if I were to lose my laptop or it was to get stolen, I could easily set it up. But everything is so cloud-based for me that it doesn't really matter. Even if I didn't have that backup, it'd be really easy for me to get up and going again.
Mike Swagunski is joining us from his apartment in Tbilisi, Georgia right now on Travel with Rick Steves. He's the author of Global Career and offers tips for working as a digital nomad at globalcareerbook.com. In your book, you talk about geo-arbitrage. What is arbitrage? And very briefly, how does that apply to digital nomadic lifestyle?
So essentially, geo-arbitrage in my definition is elevating your lifestyle for a fraction of the cost. And it's essentially being able to earn US dollars and spend in the local currency. So earn in dollars, spend in pesos. And for every dollar, you're going to get so much more value. You're going to be able to save more of your income. You're going to be able to invest that savings into your business, other ventures, and essentially you can live for a fraction of the cost and you can have a better lifestyle by utilizing geo-arbitrage.
Hey, when you're traveling, how do you find your tribe? You know, when you come into a new place, are you committed to connecting with the expats and not even having to learn the language and you got that whole social world there? Or are you sort of embracing the local situation and connecting with locals that have nothing to do with the expat community?
So my approach is to find a blend. And I think everyone's going to need to find what works best for them. And I think each country or city is going to be a little bit different. My approach is to usually have a 50-50 where I have 50% of expat friends, 50% of local friends. And I would say it's very easy to kind of immerse yourself with that. Some people might need to sway, you know, to one side or the other. And I think depending on the country that you're going to be living in. But I would say at any time, you need to be immersing yourself. You are a guest in this country. You need to try to immerse yourself as much as possible. And that's truly how you learn about the local culture and kind of experience what it's like to live and travel as a local.
I would think things would go much better with that sort of go local attitude. And at the same time, you could connect with your expat friends. I've got friends in St. Petersburg in Russia, and they've got a tight social group, but they also love getting into the local culture. So you come to a new country and you do that every few months. What's the checklist? Just very briefly, what do you have to do when you say, okay, I'm going to stay here for a while and work now?
Yeah, so normally the first thing I do is I get on Facebook and I'll just search digital nomad and then the city name. I'll put that in. I'll join a few of the most popular Facebook groups and I'll just go see what type of events are happening. And if you're in a location where there aren't many events or you can't really access this crowd, try to create your own type of events. And I've done that in the past where I wanted to connect with other online entrepreneurs. So I've created mastermind groups where, you know, it's a group of five or six people. We're meeting every 2 weeks discussing business problems that we're having. And I would say if you can't find your tribe, then you got to go there and create it yourself.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We've been talking with digital nomad Mike Swigunski, and he's filled with tips for how to live and work from almost anywhere. And he's shared that in his book, Global Career, How to Work Anywhere and Travel Forever. Mike, tell us, just to close it out, you're in Tbilisi in Georgia right now. Is that where you're settled for a little while, or what do you dream of next?
Yeah, so Tbilisi checks pretty much every box for my perfect travel hub. And it sounds like as long as things stay open for us here to stay here long term, that's where we're going to stay and plant some roots. I really love it here. It's got a really great cost of living and value for money. There's a lot of great long-term visa options. The internet and expat crowd is perfect. It's a really good environment. There's a lot of delicious local foods. So Tbilisi is going to be that hub. And one of the great things is it's connected to a lot of countries that I'm interested in traveling to, like the Stans is kind of the next place that I really want to explore.
And you can hop on a plane and go to one of the other Stans and come back, and you're still working remotely wherever you lay your head. Mike Swigunski, thanks so much, and best wishes with your work and your travels as you weave it together as a digital nomad.
Thanks so much, Rick.
Mike Swigunski talks more about digital security issues at ricksteves.com/radio. Next, we dig into the Travel with Rick Steves archives for a couple of fun domestic travel ideas. In a bit, an Arizona writer looks at the personality of Grand Canyon. But first, a geologist recommends the stories America has to tell from the window seat of an airplane.